You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Rachel and Gabby's season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 303. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Got a great show for you today. Another first-time guest, or guests, so to speak. She's All Batch. You've heard them on their podcast, the She's All Batch podcast. It is Stephanie Parker and Jackie Maroney. They are joining me for the first time today, and we will get to that momentarily.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
As you know, the Daily Roundup is already up in your feed. So it was posted about 2 hours ago, and it covers some thoughts from Tuesday's episode, a little more on yesterday's spoiler, and then something from Eric's high school past surfaced last night. I have a feeling the major outlets are going to run with this story. I give my thoughts on that this morning. It's already been revealed, if you're listening to this right now, as it's released, the Dance with the Stars cast and partners are released. I'm recording this Wednesday night, so I don't know who the partners are, but by the time you listen to this, you can go online and find who everybody's with. I know Gabby is with Val because Val's wife spoiled that in an interview. Big Brother, huge episode tonight, and some other things in reality TV world that I'm talking about. So go check out that on the Reality Steve podcast feed, today's Daily Roundup. Also, as you know, as you're probably listening to this, I am on a flight to Las Vegas for the weekend. There will be a Daily Roundup tomorrow and Monday, even though I will be in Las Vegas for both of those days to record. I'm sure I'll come up with 20 minutes of material tomorrow. It'll sound different because I'm not bringing my microphone, but I will be recording on my phone, and I'm pretty sure I know how to upload it and get everything ready to go for tomorrow. But, you know, just to let you know, it is going to happen, and I'll probably record it. With the time zone change, it'll still be up at the same time, about 8 a.m. Eastern time. But I'll watch the Rams Bills game, probably watch Big Brother, and then record after that. So Big Brother's going to end at what, 10 Pacific time, because it's a 2 hour episode tonight. So I'll be recording it around, yeah, I put it this way, it'll be up tomorrow morning. That's all you need to know. It'll be in its, you don't really care when I record it, do you? but yeah, I'm excited. This is an annual trip. You know, I'm out there for the first week of NFL season every year, and looking forward to it. Looking forward to joining some pools, putting in my future bets, and yeah, I'm on the Rams tonight. Kind of hard to go against the defending Super Bowl champions at home, and they're getting points. And everybody and their mother is picking Buffalo to win the Super Bowl this year, which pretty much guarantees they won't. That's never a good sign when all of the media is just riding your team's jockstrap like the media is for the Buffalo Bills this season. You know, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good, but just remember, They were 5-1 in their division last year in the AFC East. They were only 6-5 versus the rest of the league. And if you look at those six wins, they beat one good quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and five average to below average quarterbacks outside of the AFC East. So just, hey, I'm not saying I hate the Bills and people in Buffalo, you don't need to come for me. Just know that people in Buffalo are very well aware that everybody in the media is on them this year. And I'm just telling you, that's very hard to live up to. And first game of the year on the road at the defending Super Bowl champions. We know the defending Super Bowl champions always host the first game of the season on Thursday night. They're 19-2 in the last 19-3 in the last 22 games on Thursday night to open the season, the defending Super Bowl champs. So, hey, you know, things happen. Buffalo could certainly win the game, for sure. But that's where I'm leaning tonight. I'm heading, I'm going to go with the Rams. A lot of stuff yesterday, obviously, on the podcast in regards to the spoilers. Like I said, when I know stuff, I tell you. And I found that out after the episode aired on Tuesday night, made some calls, and I was told, hey, Rachel and Tino have broken up. And if I knew the reasons, I would tell you. I do know, like I said, the biggest thing was at some point they stopped talking. I don't know who initiated that, and I don't know the reason behind it. If I did, I would have told you. This has nothing to do with seeing the promo Tuesday night and said, oh, I think Rachel and Tino are broken up. No, they are broken up. It was confirmed to me last night. I was reached out to first. I had been hearing rumblings all season, but like I say, I hear rumblings every season. And, you know, you hear stuff and you're like, okay, it sounds very third, fourth hand. But when this one came to me, I realized it did line up with what was being shown on TV. So, and I got the confirmation that I needed to say that Rachel and Tino have broken up. They're not going to get back together. This isn't something where he's going to be, or she. I've heard it's done. I mean, both of them have just gone their separate ways. And like I said, I know you want answers, and I know you really need to know everything like 3 seconds after it happens, but sometimes you just got to wait. And we are going to get our answers when Rachel and Tino are live on the After the Final Rose on Tuesday night, September 20th. They're going to be asked because we're going to see footage from their happy couple visit that we've seen clips of in the preview. And Rachel and Tino are going to tell us their story. What happened? You know, I don't know. I have no idea what happened. If I did, I would be the first to tell you. But we don't know, but we will know soon enough. I know it's not soon enough for most people, but we will know soon enough once those two go live on the After the Final Rose. So look forward to that. And, you know, yesterday I found out something I had no idea. We've known that Tino's going to be a contestant on this show since when? March? Like, as a contestant? Show ended up filming in May. I mean, it literally been March, April, May, June, July, 6 months. 6 months we've known Tino has been a person that's now in Bachelorette Nation, and I had no idea until yesterday that Tino graduated from Loyola Marymount University in L.A., which is where I graduated from, obviously way before he did, but had no idea he was a fellow LMU alum. Lion pride, baby! How dare you dump him, Rachel? You dump a lion? Nah. Anyway, but yeah, just found that out yesterday. Had no idea. This guy's been on everybody's, you know, radar for 6 months, and for some reason I never bothered to look at where he went to college. And the thing is, I knew he lived in Marina Del Rey, which is basically at the bottom of the hill from LMU, and I don't know why. I had no idea. Anyway, yeah, so that's that was interesting to hear, and like I said, if I find anything out in the next 2 weeks in terms of more details about the Rachel and Tino breakup, by all means, I will definitely share it with you. Don't forget, though, today's podcast brought to you by a couple of our sponsors. First off, Green Chef. You know how much I love Green Chef. They make eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals. Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. The best thing for me is it's very easy to make and it's very time-saving. You know me. I'm not somebody that wants to spend a lot of time in the kitchen, ever. But these are time-saving recipes. They're packed with fresh produce, vibrant flavors, gives you more opportunities to get outside, make the most of sunny days before summer's end. Fast and fit meals. They're under 700 calories, and basically all of them, 25 minutes or less. Even for someone like me who doesn't even know how to cook, I can make it in 25 minutes. I think my record was 23. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices get you more chef-curated flavor in less time. I love the crispy southern chicken. That's my favorite. Also, spicy beef and broccoli noodle bowls are to die for. And the pork with apple and raisins, not too shabby. Anyway, you need to go out and get Green Chef. And I've got such a deal for you guys. You've been hearing me talk about it on the Daily Roundup. Go to greenchef.com/realitysteve135 and use code realitysteve135. You're going to get $135 off across five boxes, and your first box ships free. That's greenchef.com/realitysteve. Use code realitysteve135 to get $135 off across five boxes, and your first box ships free. greenchef.com/realitysteve135. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. And also, you know, when you think of vibrators, you think of Reality Steve. And let's be honest, sex is better when everyone is enjoying themselves. That's why Dame Products designed Eva, the first hands-free vibrator for couples. Boost your pleasure and connection for all with a little toy that won't get in the way. So basically, what you got to do is use code REALITYSTEVE to take 15% off your first order at dameproducts.com. So go to dameproducts.com, that's D-A-M-E, use code REALITYSTEVE, take 15% off your first order. And I'm telling you, I said I've given these products to friends of mine that are in, not in Bachelor Nation, but in the reality TV world, and they say, hey, sometimes it's better than the real thing. And they've been sent the Eva, and they have been sent the Air. And I'm telling you, you're going to love this thing. And trust me, my friends wouldn't lie to me about this stuff. You know? DameProducts.com. Use code REALITYSTEVE to take 15% off your first order.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
All right, let's get going. Podcast number 303. First time we've ever had him on the podcast. So here we go. Podcast 303. All right, let's bring them in. They are the hosts of the She's All Batch podcast. This is their first time on the podcast. Stephanie Parker and Jackie Maroney. Ladies, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, we're excited. This is big for us. Thanks for having us, Steve.
No, I was going to say, you know, you guys, the thing is, I know about you because of how you've created content. Because for the longest time, obviously, there's a lot of Instagram accounts out there. There's a lot of a lot of Bachelor-related podcasts out there, whether they're from independent people like yourself and me and Dave and Game of Roses or contestants. But I just started seeing your stuff pop up on my TikTok feed and my Instagram reels. Like, that's how I became to know you. So, first off, just congratulations on that, that you have been able to make a name for yourself in the in this world where it's very saturated and a lot of people are doing kind of the same thing. So, Good on you for
thank
that.
Thank you. Yay, thank you. That makes me really happy that we like made it to Reality Steve's 40 days. That was like a bucket list.
So before we get started on She's All Batch, I want to get a little background on both of you because it's your first time on the podcast, and I don't know a ton about you, although Stephanie, you and I have discovered in recent weeks that we had a past together briefly.
Yeah, we go way back.
Yeah, and so we'll get to that in a second. But first off, Stephanie, let's start with you. What is your background?
So I have a background in entertainment news. I've been doing that for well over a decade and was always into The Bachelor and then decided to make it my main focus. But I was always covering like reality TV and entertainment news in general.
Okay. And Jackie?
Yeah. So I kind of started not so much from an entertainment news background, but just like more general entertainment background. A few years ago, I was like living in LA and doing comedy and acting stuff, and then kind of fell into this hosting role. I had an opportunity to host a chat show of my choosing at the job that I was currently at, and I didn't even watch The Bachelor at the time, but I was like, you know what, I think people are kind of obsessed with this. If we could kind of tap into this fandom, maybe this little chat show that I had the opportunity to create could do well. And then that's kind of how I fell into it and started watching the show and covering it. So I did a chat show there, then kind of spun off a podcast that never really went anywhere. And then finally had worked with Stephanie once prior before on that podcast. And then she had reached out to me to work together on the She's All Batch podcast. So that's kind of how I fell into it. So we come from like the perfect like supplementary worlds of like entertainment news journalism and like just pure entertainment creating a show.
Okay, that was my next question. You answered it for me, so good. I was going to ask how you two came about together, and it's because Stephanie had been on your podcast.
As a guest on my old podcast. So we had only, never had even met face-to-face. We had just chatted via, like, podcast one time before we had a phone call to kind of, like, discuss the potential of doing this together.
So I had created the She's All Batch Instagram page, though, in, like, 2019 and with no intention of it ever turning into a podcast. And then the pandemic hit and I was really relying on podcasts to like get me through. I had just had a baby and I was just always listening to podcasts and I found myself obsessed with yours, Steve. And like, you only released so many times at that time. Now you're releasing much more, which is great. But at the time you only had one episode a week. Once I listened to that, you had like the Bachelor Happy Hours and the ABC driven podcast that just really weren't doing it for me because they weren't covering the stuff that I wanted to hear about. And they weren't asking the questions that I thought they should be asking, the juicy stuff we really want to know. And so that kind of got in my head that maybe I should start a podcast. And it was kind of a no-brainer to name it after the Instagram page that had kind of already had this built-in audience of people that understood my humor. And that kind of really helped us. I think that's a lot of what helped the beginning because people were like willing to give us a chance because of the Instagram page. But now we have people that listen to the podcast that don't even know that I'm She's All Batch on Instagram. So it's kind of like taken on a life of its own.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have my question list in front of you? Because I was just going to ask how you got started in the podcast. You answered that already.
Wait, go ask your question, Steve. We'll stop trampling on your
I was going to say, like, what made you go from a Instagram page of She's All Batch to, hey, let's start a podcast? Well, you just answered it. Like, it was a pandemic.
Well,
you just had a child.
There's a little bit more, actually. So what really, like, I thought there was a space in the podcast world for a She's All Batch podcast, and I think we are filling that void now. And I started something, it was very brief on TikTok where I did random bachelor facts. It was a TikTok series and every single video did really, really well. And people wanted more and they wanted me to do more. I'm like, well, I have like a plethora of bachelor facts in my brain. Like I could talk about this till I'm blue in the face. So that's kind of what made me feel like there was an interest there. And that kind of pushed me more so to kind of get my wheels spinning. And then I reached out to Jackie, who had podcast knowledge, which I had none of. So that was like having her come on with me, like was just like the perfect storm because I don't know if I would have been able to do it on my own with no information on how to even start a podcast.
So Jackie, when you were speaking earlier, you had said that you weren't really a fan of the show or hadn't watched it. So when did you pick up? What was your first season of this show that you got into it?
My first season was Ari's season. And to be fair, I have since gone back and like watched the classics and learned my history. So I have watched the seasons before that, just to kind of refresh my knowledge that I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking to our guests and stuff. But the first season I ever actually watched was Ari's. Actually, that's not true. I watched Trista's season with my mom when I was like a child. But then as an adult, watched Ari's season for the first time. That was the first time I ever covered it.
Wow.
You're like so, five watching Trista's season? That's like literally, yes.
I was going to say, like.
Of it. But yeah, that was like a routine in our household. We would sit down every night and watch Trista's season. But yes, I was literally five, probably.
I was going to say, you watched Trista's season and then literally took 10 to 12 years off from watching this franchise and tuned into Ari's season, which was. God knows how many seasons later.
That was a good one to start with, though, because it gave me a lot of content to work with.
Now, this could be something, it could be nothing, Stephanie. The fact that you named your stuff She's All Batch, are you a fan of the movie She's All That? Is that where it came from?
Who isn't, Steve, first of all?
That's true.
I mean, yeah, sure. I've seen that movie a million times. Kiss Me, that song, is like the song of our generation.
Yeah.
But besides that, God, this is so weird that I remember this. When I decided to come up with the Instagram, it was when I came up with the name that really was like, all right, I'm gonna do this. And I just searched, I'm all about a good pun, and I searched for like words that sound like batch, and I saw that, and I'm like, okay. And then I was like, she's all batch, okay. And that's what I did it. So really, no, it had nothing to do with the movie, but I felt like it was cute and it sticks out compared to some others that are out there. And I thought it also represents, like, when you listen to our podcast and when you go to the memes, it's very targeted towards like a millennial female and guy. And like, there's a lot of Friends references and The Hills, or if you like Laguna Beach or you grew up in that era, you're probably going to get a lot of the things that we're talking about. Am I missing anything, Jackie? Like other,
Mean Girls, Titanic.
We've
been really leaning into Titanic these days. Well, because of the cruise references thing, you know.
And the fact that Leo just dumped his 25-year-old girlfriend for like the 10th time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's in the news. Jackie, are you guys ever surprised? I'll start with you, Jackie. Are you surprised at the reaction that you get from your podcast? I'm not saying like whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't matter. I'm almost 6 years into this thing and doing it once a week. I only started the daily one on July 11th, so I'm not even 2 months into doing a daily one. But just, I'm still surprised. And I, when I say surprised, I say that when you record something, especially if it's not with a guest, and you're just putting something out, you know, I record my daily podcast every night, usually around 9 or 10 my time, and then I upload it, and it uploads in the morning or whatever. But I don't have any guests on that. It's just me talking. And it's just like, I don't think about it. And I just talk and I record and I upload it the next morning. And you don't really start to think about somebody is actually listening to this. Like, there's a point. I mean, now, granted, I've been around for a while now, so I get that I do have a fan base and people listen. But it is still weird to me that people listen to what I have to say about things and have a reaction. And, you know, I told a great Olive Garden story the other day, and I've had people email me about that. And it's just it's just a really weird thing. Do you ever get like, wow, people, it's cool and kind of weird that people care what I say about things?
Absolutely. No, I think we've had a few experiences recently that have really like hammered that point home. Because, you know, when we started, we were really focused on our interviews at first, because we're like, we're just two girls. Like, who cares what we want to say? That people want to hear from the people that have been on the show. And recently we've had some episodes now where we don't even have an interview guest for one reason or the next. And it's like just us, and it's still resonating with people. And we did an event over the summer where we called it Thoughts Fest, where we drove up to Audrey's coffee shop, and we had listeners of the show like come meet us there. And it was just so crazy and humbling and exciting to see that these people, they showed up and they like know our jokes and they know us, and they felt like our friends. And yeah, I'm always blown away by the fact that not only people are tuning in to listen to what we have to say, but that they like it and they resonate with it and somehow relate to it in some way. So it's super cool. I actually was just last week away with my family on a cruise ship, and a girl came up to me and was like, "Are you Jackie from She's All Batch? Like, I love your podcast so much." And that was the first time I had just been approached by a random stranger. So the whole thing is just like such a whirlwind, but it's been super cool and super rewarding to see how many people resonate with what we have to say. It's incredible.
Was it a Virgin cruise where you went to Paris, Bruges, and Amsterdam?
Unfortunately, I did not get the life-changing free cruise, but yeah.
But I did.
Now, we'll see.
Steve, I got the cruise.
That story. It's so funny.
You got the cruise?
So I think Virgin's just like obviously throwing cruises at everyone, and I obviously tweet and meme about the show, and the meme I wrote, I'm just going to read it to give you the actual word for word. Sorry for the pause. It's a picture of Jesse announcing the cruise, and I go, "How are we supposed to believe anything this man says when he told us that a sponsored cruise giveaway that other people won was going to change our lives forever?"
I saw that one when you post. Okay, yeah. I saw that one.
Virgin responded, and they said, "Your life-changing news is like right around the corner. DM us for more details." So I did, and they said, "What's your email? We're sending you a free cruise." And I'm like, "All right, I'll believe it when I see it."
Have you gotten it yet?
No, they said it would take up to like 48 hours to get the email. We did talk to someone. So on our episode that's actually just released, I don't know when this episode comes out, but our recurrent episode just dropped at midnight on Thursday. And a listener was in the audience at the Men's Hall All, and she won the cruise as well, obviously, because she was there. She spilled so many good details. I'm really excited about it. But I asked her, I'm like, "Oh, did you get the cruise? Like, what's the details on the cruise?" And she said that it's a voucher that you have to redeem by December 1st. So like, there's really not much time. And she's unsure if you have to go on the cruise by December 1st or if you just have to redeem it by December 1st. But either way, that's like kind of last minute, which is why I think they're just randomly giving away cruises on Twitter now too, because I don't think people are going to necessarily go.
Yeah.
So, your shot if you want to go on a cruise.
Well, yeah, not only that.
And let us know.
But also that cruise only leaves out of Miami or Barcelona. That too.
I heard that too. Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, well, it's great you're giving out cruises, but I'm guessing most of the people in that audience probably lived in Southern California, and now you're giving them 4 months to not only take a cruise, but they got to fly somewhere to get on that cruise, either fly to Miami or fly to Barcelona and get on it. Like, I'm guessing maybe 10 to 15% of the people in that audience are actually going to use that cruise.
Maybe that's why they're doing it, though, because they get the free promotion
and
they look like so great giving away cruises to everyone, but they don't actually have to shell out all these vacations. But I will go. Trust me. Beggars can't be choosers. I will go on that fucking cruise.
So you will go if that are the parameters, you have to use it by the first and it's leaving out of Miami or Barcelona. You'll be able to do it.
I mean, I'll see what I could do. And Jackie, you may have to fight my husband on who gets to go as my plus one. I told him, I'm like, maybe I'm going to go with Jackie. It's going to be a business trip. And he's like, screw that. I need to go on this free cruise. So I don't know. We'll have to iron things out. We probably can, like, enable this into a sponsored deal, though. So I think we should all go. Steve, you should come, too.
You know what the funny thing is? I've never been on a cruise in my life, and I don't really have an interest in doing it either. I don't know. It doesn't. I've heard about the ones that kind of maybe the ones that do the Bahamas and stop in those places. I think I could do that. I don't know. I'm older. I mean, maybe I should have done this when I was younger, but
You're missing out. And have you never seen Nick Viall as the cruise ship manager in that movie that he was in? Because that will change your
opinion. Yeah, I've seen the clip and I can't say it's really, you know, gotten my juices flowing to get on a cruise.
He does a really good job at folding towels. So.
Nothing Nick Viall does gets my juices flowing about anything, to be honest with you. All right, let's talk a little bit about your background with the show. Stephanie, do you have I don't want to say favorite season. It's so generic. But I do want to know, like, what your relationship with the show is. How long we know how long Jackie's been watching. How long have you been watching? And are there moments, seasons, contestants that stand out to you the most?
Yes, and this question always stresses me out because I feel I don't know. Like, how long have I been watching? I go back. My earliest season is Brad Womack's second season. I've never watched like Jason Mesnick's or before. Okay. And I don't really care to because I feel like they've learned a lot about how to keep the audience entertained since then. And just like the camera quality and everything, like you could tell it's very much like early 2000s before then. And I don't really care for it. And then what was your other question? People that stand out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a villain girl through and through. I know you've had Michelle Money on, I think more than once. I'm talking to Michelle Money. I don't even know if I told Jackie yet, but Michelle Money wants to come on the pod.
And oh, great.
She's just like an iconic character for me. Just someone that like truly, truly embodies like the hilarious villain, because they try to replicate that now. And I wasn't for Shanae. Like, I don't think that's entertaining. When you could tell it's forced, it's not interesting to me. I liked when it was like genuine, like Courtney Robertson and Michelle Money and who else fits that bill? I'm not even sure if I would say Corinne. I feel like that's when people started wising up about like, oh, if I act this way, I'll get screen time. But
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah, no, that was... Corinne seemed... like to go on the show knowing she was going to play a role. She definitely seemed to do that. But yeah, when you're put on the spot to be like, who's a forced villain versus who is an actual real villain, it's tough to say off the top
Michelle
of your head.
Money was just like naturally confident and hilarious and gorgeous. Like she was just like the whole package that I like. She stands out to me as a character on the show, like 100%.
Yeah, no, she's great, and she'll be a great guest as well. Now, Jackie, about you, since you started at RE season, you don't have – I mean, it's still a lot of seasons. When you think about it, I mean, RE season was 6 or 7 years ago, so that's literally 14 seasons of shows that you've watched. Have you had a favorite contestant moment season yourself?
Favorite season is hard to say. I do think I wouldn't say it's necessarily my favorite, but I think RE season will always hold a special place in my heart because it was like the first one for me. And I think the first time you're kind of doing the whole thing, it is very exciting because, you know, after a while it does get a little repetitive. As far as a moment, I will never forget the moment of watching Peter Weber's finale with friends of mine. This was right before the pandemic. We did not know what we had in store for the next few years. Everything was happy.
Yeah.
And watching Barb go off on Madison and on Peter and that whole episode, I remember like looking at all of my friends that I was watching with, our jaws are on the floor. We can't believe what we're watching. That's probably one of my favorite moments. And that to me is like some of the best of what The Bachelor can provide, because I like the mess. I like when it's just messy all around. It's shocking. I can do with or without a love story. A love story is great if we get it in the end, but Same. I'm more privy to the mess.
Yeah. And speaking of Peter season, I just want to say congratulations to you guys for being the for being the second to last guests of the Bachelors in the City podcast that just miraculously disappeared out of thin air. Hey,
not only that,
when the going gets tough, you quit. That's my motto.
I know, but we got in last, like just in the nick of time. But if you go to the Bachelors in the City's Instagram, we are the last, like our faces are the last post on their feed. I'm like, oh my God, we're just going to live here forever.
And, you know, and I wonder, I mean, there's really, I mean, Dustin and Peter have their personal accounts, which I'm assuming they'll keep. But is there a reason to even keep a Bachelors in the City podcast Instagram page up if you're never going to do another podcast? What's the point? You know, maybe it'll get deleted. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say maybe it will get deleted. I mean, I have no idea, but it just seems like what's the point of keeping it up?
Well, I know that neither of them even like had anything to do with it. Their producer Emma ran it, and
she's a big fan of mine, by the way.
Oh my God, they hate you.
I know. Yeah, I didn't even. First off, I didn't even know they had a producer named Emma because I had never listened to their show until the whole Nate fiasco, and then I tune in because I don't want to get anything wrong and I don't want to misquote them, and then I hear this producer that's got all these opinions of me, and I've never spoken to her in my life, and she clearly, by what she said, had never listened to a thing I had ever said or written. So, you know, I get it a lot. People don't like me. I get it, but it's very telling to when they express that they don't like me, and then they literally rehash something that happened 4 or 5 years ago. It's like, okay, you clearly haven't seen anything recently, so I don't really care what your opinion is. And I've never spoken to you either.
Can we talk about the Dustin thing real quick, though? Because my opinion is that Nate did a really good job redeeming himself. I mean, I think he was obviously media trained for the Men Tell All. I thought his answers were good. And had Dustin just, like, kept his mouth shut, Nate probably would have been, like, solidified as the Bachelor. And I feel like the only thing that's going against him now is the fact that his friend defended him, which is crazy.
Well, we're recording this on Thursday, September 1st. It's going to run next Thursday on September 8th. However, my daily roundup and my Thursday podcast that came out today was, my daily roundup came out 2 hours ago. My other podcast literally came out 30 minutes before we started recording this, so you probably haven't listened to it. I posted on both of my podcasts today, Nate is out. He's not the Bachelor.
What?
Yeah, he's not it. I was told, now here's the thing. I was told that he rejected it. He basically said, I don't want to do it. Now, he could be saying that to save face. He could be telling friends that because he doesn't want to admit that maybe they pulled it from him. Maybe, I don't know the details. All I was told was Nate rejected the offer. So we leave it at that. He's not going to be our Bachelor, which now makes things interesting because I really only think there's one other guy from this season who it could possibly even be based on, you know, where people finish and edits they've gotten this season. And that would be, in my mind, the only other person it could be if they chose someone from Rachel and Gabby's season, which isn't even a guarantee, would be Zach. And then you're looking at past contestants or they pull somebody out of the blue for the first time since Matt Grant's season, which I guess is always a possibility. But if you ask me now, I mean, I thought it was going to be Nate based on the way they defended him on Twitter and all that. But now the fact that he's not in, I have no idea where they're headed. I mean, they could pull something out of their ass like they did on Ari's season, pulled him out of their ass out of the blue. The Nick thing came out of the blue. I don't know. I mean, not insight, but anybody that you would like to see? Like, do you think Zach would be a good Bachelor?
No, I would be bored to tears. I need to see how it ends. I mean, obviously, I know he doesn't win, but he goes out in some dramatic way, which I don't know. Obviously, I know you know. But I don't think he was compelling enough. I wouldn't like that. I'm down for the ass pulling. Pull Tyler Cameron out of your ass.
Yeah.
I will definitely watch. I don't get why they don't just throw an obscene amount of money at him and just make him do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the thing that would get at least eyeballs on your premiere episode because he's the most followed person, male, in the franchise on Instagram. So he is the guy that would probably kind of, I don't know, spark something within this franchise and maybe reinvigorate things with their fan base, but I don't think this guy's dated some A-list models. I don't think he needs this show to find a woman.
Of course he doesn't need it, but like that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have to sell it. You have to sell it as, is it believable? I mean, look, I don't think anything about the show is believable, but they have to sell it as it is, and I don't know. If they did, it'd be great. I mean, it's not like I wouldn't watch, but I don't know. I think he's too popular for the show, and I don't think he wants to do it. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the show is willing to fork out money wise. But Jackie, in your estimation, outside of Tyler Cameron, is there anyone that you would be interested in seeing?
Well, do you think that they are not going to go the route of a two Bachelor season now? Because that is what I'm interested in seeing. That's what people have been asking for to make it kind of, you know, some equal playing field. So you think they're never going
to
pull that out?
Yeah, no, that's not happening. They're not doing it back to back. This season was a disaster format wise, and I've heard behind the scenes that they did not enjoy it doing it this way. So I can't imagine they're going to do it back to back season. I mean, maybe in the future they'll try it, but I don't think we're going to get two Bachelors.
I have found it entertaining. Like, I think it's at least something different. We've had some fresh stuff to talk about. So in that sense, I've found this season to be enjoyable. So I would really like to see a double Bachelor season. I know doing Greg Grippo and Andrew Spencer has been kind of tossed around a little bit. I don't think Greg will ever actually come back to the show, but that would probably be my vote.
Yeah, I at this point, if it's not going to be Zach and it's not going to be anybody from Rachel and Gabby's season, which I'm just saying, if it's not going to be that route, I think they might pull somebody out of the blue that we don't know. And I don't even think going the C or D list celebrity or reality guy that's kind of middle of the road. Like, I think if they're going to pull somebody new, pull somebody that none of us know. And when they make the announcement, the only people that know that guy are his family and friends. Like, I think that's the route they used to go for the first, you know, 10 seasons of this show. Most of them were just like, hey, here's your Bachelor. It's this guy is a banker and this guy does this. And this guy, you know, Byron was a fisherman and Jay was an investment banker. And, you know, Andrew Firestone owned a winery. They just gave you guys. Now it's like, look, I understand why they've done it. I understand the built-in audience for somebody that was dumped that the fans are rooting for that want to see it, but you've literally done 30 seasons in a row of that. Like, let's at least try it. I mean, it doesn't hurt to pull somebody, but I have no idea where they're leaning. It might just be another, you know, recycled lead. I don't know.
What about like a Mike Johnson or Andrew Spencer by himself?
I thought Mike had a girlfriend. Doesn't he?
Does he?
I thought he was posting with a girl recently. Thought I saw that.
Okay, Andrew Spencer. I feel like he could do it. I mean, he's probably going to get a phenomenal edit in Paradise. And spoiler alert, he doesn't leave the show with anyone. You could say that here because this is Reality Steve.
Yeah, I'm I guess he's a possibility. I just think the Paradise people would be tough because they're going to start filming The Bachelor before Paradise even starts airing. And it would basically kind of ruin. I mean, I think a lot of people started thinking Michael when they found out Michael was going down to Paradise. And they were like, oh, they're giving him the Bachelor edit. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. He's not getting a Bachelor edit. He'll start filming The Bachelor before the first episode of Paradise even starts airing. So it wouldn't make any sense to be like, Michael's getting a Bachelor edit. So same thing with Andrew. It would kind of give away whatever ending he has. We know he doesn't end up with anybody, but that's still a very small portion of their audience that thinks that or that knows that. You know, people that follow spoilers would only know that, and that's still a very small percentage of their audience. So, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea where they're going with this, but I'm going to be probably, unless I hear something last minute, I'm probably going to be just as surprised as everybody else when the announcement is officially made. But, yeah, I have heard that Nate just doesn't want to do it, but I don't know the reasoning why. I was just told he rejected it. Now, like I said, could be saving face. Maybe he was never even offered it, and he's just saying that because, you know, he wants it to sound more important than it is. But, yeah, he's not going to do it. So,
yeah.
Oh, well. And I don't think it has any. Honestly, I don't think it has anything to do with my reporting because after I reported it, Fleiss went to bat for Nate like 10 times on Twitter. So clearly they were interested in him and they definitely were talking to him about it. So I don't think my reporting had anything to do with him not getting it.
Are you kidding me? This is 1,000% the reason why he's not the Bachelor, though. Had that story never come out, Nate would be the Bachelor.
Well, I'm just saying, but what I'm saying is, if this is true that he rejected it, I guess because I don't know why he rejected it. Did he reject it because he's just sick of people, you know, digging into his past life? Or is he?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's possible.
He didn't like the backlash, and he doesn't want to do it now.
It's okay. That's possible, but I don't want to take any credit for him not getting it because he had the opportunity too. They definitely wanted him, and I think. Right. So if he chose not to do it, then that's on him, and that's his choice, and we can all respect that. I actually kind of respect the guy for turning it down because most people would kill to have this lead, to be a lead on this show, male or female. Like, any of them would love to have the lead role and be the Bachelor or be the Bachelorette. Like, kind of takes some balls to turn them down. If he really did turn them down, that takes some balls, you know?
You could know that, like, maybe other girls are going to come out of the woodwork and be like, I dated him too, and I did this, and he just doesn't want all that airing out, so he's like, you know what, it's not worth it.
And what's funny is, you know, they already have the women chosen for this season. I know a few that are going to be on next season, and they cast the women and they cast the men before they cast the lead. Like, these women are in the dark. They have no idea who the Bachelor is, yet they've signed up to go on the show and leave in a few weeks. So that's always been funny to me, and it's just more proof that this show is not about finding love and not about finding the perfect person for their lead. They don't give a shit. They're casting a television show. They've chosen all their women, and these women don't even know who they're applying for, you know? So it just kind of goes to show. But in terms of this season, I want to talk about this season a little bit. Jackie, when you first heard, and it would have been on Clayton's After the Final Rose, the final episode back in March, when you first heard there was going to be two Bachelorettes and it was going to be two Bachelorettes throughout the whole season, what was your reaction, and did the season measure up to what you thought it was going to be?
I would say my reaction was mixed. On one hand, I feel like I've been like hammering this point home. I am excited for something that is different, something that is new, that's not the same recycled group date drama that we've seen a million times. So in that sense, I was excited for it. And I do think in that sense, the show has lived up to kind of something that I found entertaining and have been excited to watch every Monday night. I do, though, feel that it has been a bit of a, I do think both Gabby and Rachel have gotten a bit of the short end of the stick, because it's like neither of them get their own season, and they keep saying like, oh, you know, they're best friends and we're not pitting them against each other, but like, comparison is only natural, and now you have these two girls in a position where they're constantly being compared to each other, and they're both getting half the screen time that a normal lead would get. They're not getting the real lead experience, and in that sense I'm bummed for both of them, because I do like both of them a lot.
What about you, Stephanie?
Literally everything she just said, I fully agree with. I was excited, again, like, if it's new and different and exciting, I'm here for it. So when it was announced, I was like definitely confused how this was going to work, because, you know, the only other time was Britain.
They're like, and how is this going to work?
Oh yeah, the fact that Jesse's like, so how are we going to fucking do this, guys? Like, he literally, no one had any agenda. They just like started filming and for the best.
And it showed. And it showed this season, clearly.
But we like mess, Steve. We like mess.
Just out of curiosity, I'm sure you saw the Getty Images picture of a possible contestant being on Dancing with the Stars. You saw it, right?
Yeah, I've seen two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of the girl one with the mask on.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like Gabby. I mean, I think it's her.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even think there's really any dispute. Is there? Who are people thinking it is? I saw that picture in 2 seconds. I'm like, that's Gabby.
Yeah. No, people are saying it could be Charlie D'Amelio, but
no.
Her hair is way darker. Her hair is more like jet black, and hair, totally Gabby's hair. That's more of like a dark brown with like some reddish tone to it. So 100%, I think it's Gabby.
Yeah.
I think it's funny they're dressing them up like freaking astronauts to walk into the Dancing with the Stars.
I know.
Because they can't be seen. Like, they're doing such a shitty job at hiding them if people can still take a photo and figure out who it is.
Yeah, I mean, the mask, like, does cover her face, but it does, you can still see her face. Like, if anything, if they really want to do it like Squid Game style, where the hoodie literally covers their whole face and it's just a mask, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't be able to tell anything other than body type. And right. body type, you would be able to get away with, it wouldn't be, you wouldn't really be able to nail down a body type, I don't think, on just one person, like, oh, that's so-and-so's body. I think you could have guesses or whatever, but seeing that picture, I was like, that's Gabby. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't think I am, but that totally looks like her. And it makes sense, you know. Tips? What?
Did you get tipped by anyone? Like, do you know?
No. If it could- no, I never have. I never really get anything on Dancing with the Stars. I think there was one season where I knew somebody was going to get it, and I had put it out there and said, hey, by the way, so and so is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. But, and I don't even, and I'm already forgetting what season that was. But I do think one time I had it. But most of the times, of all these people that have been on, between Sean Lowe and Chris Soules and who else? Nick. I mean, I think there was only one that I remember having, and I can't remember which one it was. But no, I usually don't get anything Dancing with the Stars related. So,
okay.
But I mean. Do you think that that's now turning into a competition that, let's say Gabby does get it and Rachel doesn't, but is that a big deal that Gabby's getting a pretty big offer out of this, out of being the Bachelorette, and then Rachel doesn't?
I watched a clip where Rachel said that she would want Gabby to do it because she's like the dancer of the two.
Oh, okay. Well,
so it seems like she would be supportive and understanding of why they would choose Gabby over Rachel. It does kind of feel like it was going to be Gabby and it ended up being Gabby and Rachel based on how Clayton's season ended. Do you agree?
Oh, this season.
Yeah, like I feel like it was Gabby's role. And then they threw Rachel in after the Clayton stuff happened.
Oh, I never really thought about that. I just knew that the way they filmed that final episode and the way the, you know, rose ceremony from hell went down and the fact that mm-hmm. both of them were sitting next to each other in the audience, I was like, they can't just give it to one of them because the audience would be, while they would be happy, they'd feel really bad for the one sitting right next to her that has to fake being happy for the other one getting the lead. I was like, okay, they're totally going to give it to both of them. You know, but I mean, I think if I were to go on a little bit of a mini Dancing with the Stars rant here, like really with Charli D'Amelio, the girl's been dancing since she was three. She's the most popular TikToker in the world. Like just pencil her into the finals right now. It's so obvious. She's going to get to at least the finals. Doesn't necessarily mean she's going to win because some people might be put off by the fact that she's literally a pro dancer. But yeah, you know, Gabby's former Denver Bronco cheerleader. She's got a dance background, so it makes sense. But Charlie's getting to the finals. It's so obvious. Jackie, I wanted to talk something totally different. What do you think of Young Gravy dating Addison Rae's mother? I just
wait, sorry, what did you ask? Yeah,
exactly. Do you know that Young Gravy is dating Addison Rae's mother? Did you even understand that sentence?
No, I know Addison Rae's mother.
Okay.
Who is the other person?
I didn't know this until the other day either, so don't worry about it. I did not know until Sunday night at the VMAs that there is a white rapper named Young Gravy. He took Addison Rae's mother to the VMAs, and they were making out on the red carpet like high schoolers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's 26. She's 42. And there's been stories going around because I don't even know if you know the background of Addison Rae's parents' drama. Since you love mess, you might like it. But basically,
yeah, I definitely need to look into this. This sounds right up my alley. But no, I do not know about Addison Rae's parents' drama.
Basically, the father, her father, cheated on the mother with a young girl, and they're saying that the mom is getting back at him by cheating with a young guy, just, and this is all for clout, and this is just, but They showed up at the VMAs together, arm in arm. They did all their interviews. They would kiss on the camera. Like, it was cringy.
And so they're saying their position is, no, this is real true love. This is
The thing. I don't know if it's a legit relationship, because he's done interviews post-show, and he's like, yeah, she's great. She's single. I mean, he also set the feminist movement back about 500 years by saying she's the hottest MILF out there, and that's why, you know, I'm right. Just like, okay, dude. Like, who's using MILF in the year 2022, you know?
Yeah. Could the answer be both? Could it be for clout and for, I'm not going to say true love, but yeah. Relative attraction?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I didn't even know there was a rapper named Young Gravy until Sunday night.
Me neither. What a name.
But yeah, the fact that, you know, there's a 16-year age difference and she's the older one and he's the younger one. And and the night that it happened, Addison Rae's dad takes to his Instagram page and posts a shirtless photo wearing only a towel saying, thank you to Young Gravy for taking my leftovers. I mean, it's just ugly. God. Yeah, it's...
Her parents are so cringe and embarrassing. Like, yeah. It's like they got a taste of fame and they don't know what to do with themselves. And they need to realize that their daughter is the one who's the star and not them. Like, I always thought it was weird that they would do, like, TikTok trends together, and I'm like, you guys are supposed to be like adults. Like, I don't know, they're so hard to watch.
Yeah, no, it is turned into this messy drama. And yeah, I don't know if Young Gravy and Sherry Easterling is her name, I don't know if they are like legitimately dating or they showed up to the VMAs knowing it would get major attention, which it did, and it was just kind of to throw it in the ex-husband's face. I don't know. I just... But it's messy, so I figured you would like it.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Charli D'Amelio show on Hulu? Did you ever watch their family stuff?
I did.
You do?
You did? I didn't, no.
I liked
the whole thing.
Okay, so you've watched the whole first season on Hulu.
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No, I never did. I always kept telling myself I wanted to, because I'm fascinated by someone who's literally went from, like, in 2020... Charli D'Amelio was nobody. And then all of a sudden, she's the most popular TikTok star in the world, all just because of a pandemic, and she just started making dance videos. Like, I find it fascinating, and I just kind of want to see more about their family and more about it. How is it?
Okay, the show's really good. I would recommend it. It definitely shows a raw side of things. Like, Dixie breaking down because of comments on the internet, and she's like, sobbing, and it really shows an inside look at how they handle like being in the public eye. I am like, you know, Charli D'Amelio is great. Like, I don't have anything against her. I am confused why she's as popular as she is, because I feel like she's so timid. And even when she talks on the show and does her confessionals, she act like her voice sounds like she doesn't want to be doing it, and she's like very shy or tired or I don't know. But I'm like, why is this girl famous? Because if you look at her compared to Addison Rae, like, I get why you popped off. Like, you have this dynamic personality and you want to be a star. It seems like Charli doesn't want to be famous and she's being forced to be famous.
Interesting. See, that interests me, because that could be an issue. It could be a problem. She, you know, is this going to turn her into, like, is it going to, I know that Dixie suffers from depression and social anxiety and stuff like that, and she talks about that a lot on the show, right?
Yeah. Now, that part I thought was really great that they were shining a light on that, and like every single episode would end with like, if you're struggling with depression, that these are resources you can use, and I thought that was great. I thought it was great to see that like kids idolize their lives and see like, oh wow, you got famous overnight and you got to move to LA and you have this wonderful life, and they're kind of showing like, hey, it's not all glamorous, and you know, there are some bad things that come with fame. So I think that it's really eye-opening and cool, and I don't know, I'm excited that they're doing another season, right? I think
it's getting released fairly soon, this month. Yay. Definitely. Is the just out of curiosity, one last thing on that, is the how do the parents come across? Do they come across as unhinged and they're like, oh, I'm pushing my kids to stardom, or are they a little more grounded?
No, they seem more grounded. Like, I'm so interested in like their business schedule. And there's an episode where they go over like Charli D'Amelio's schedule for 2022. And they literally have it planned month by month. Like, oh, February, shit. You're going to release makeup line. March, you're going to release your clothing line. It's all like fucking mapped out for a full year. And the mom's like, okay, but where's the schedule for dance? And where's the schedule for playtime? And she seems to be advocating for them to be like normal.
Kids. Do we have a kid's life?
Like, what'd you say?
I was going to say, like, she's probably advocating, like, when are they going to have time to be teenagers?
Exactly. Yeah. But they don't. I mean, not when you're, like, have this much money on the line. You don't have time to be a teenager.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I need to watch season one. I always told myself, because I'm really interested in just the quick rise to stardom. Like, you know, I mean, she was nobody before the pandemic hit. And the pandemic is the reason Charlie D'Amelio is what she is today. All right, let's end it with this. Let's talk a little Bachelor in Paradise. That's coming up at the end of this month, September 27th, is the premiere. The spoilers are out there. I'm sure you're very well aware of them. So anybody listening, if you don't want to hear spoiler talk about Paradise, then I don't know, I guess tune out. But Jackie, is there anybody in particular that you're looking forward to the most to see how it shakes down with them on Paradise, even, you know, knowing the spoilers or not? Was there anybody you're like, wow, okay, I want to see this?
Yeah, and maybe you can actually shed some light on this because I don't even know fully if what I'm about to say is true or not. But so yeah. I am very interested to see Shanae because I firmly believe that she – because first off, when she was on Clayton season, I just felt that the way she was acting, the things she was saying were so outrageous. I'm like, is this a real person who is acting this way? I've seen some of the promos for Paradise. She seems to be getting a semi-decent, good edit. Obviously, like, we'll see. But I'm excited to see her in Paradise in a new light because I am convinced now fully that she made some sort of deal with the producers that, like, I'll give you what you want. I'll say what needs to be said on Clayton season if I can go to Paradise and get some sort of redemption edit. And I'm curious to see how that all plays out.
Hmm.
You have any insights on this? Because this is just literally my thoughts on it. I haven't read that many Paradise spoilers. We do a few of them that we've covered on our YouTube channel and stuff, but I'm trying to at least be surprised about some things so that when we recap, I have some sort of authentic reaction.
Well, wait, Jackie, do you know that Steve spoiled the whole thing for me?
Oh no, you didn't tell me that.
Well, so Jackie just got back from a cruise, so we're still catching up.
Oh. But yeah.
Steve and Dave Neal recorded. I didn't release the YouTube because I'm actually unsure if I want to release that one. But I asked him on camera. I'm like, besides the one engaged couple that we do know, which is Victoria Fuller and Johnny. I'm like, yeah. Was there any other engaged couple? And I was just asking for the amount. And he goes, he's like, yeah, there's one other engaged couple, and then he says it, and I have like my crazy reaction, and then I'm like, you know what? At this point, just tell me everything. So Steve spoiled the whole thing for me. So I unfortunately know everything, but I'm here for it still.
Yeah, Jackie, in terms of insight, I can't say that I know Shanae like made some deal with production, but I do know that the Shanae that we're going to get on Paradise is not the Shanae that we got on Clayton season. She's going to get,
right, exactly.
She's definitely going to get a redemption net, and people are going to probably have a 180 on her and be like, oh, she isn't all that bad. But it's like, you can't just dismiss what she said and did and the things that she said to Elizabeth on that season. Like, these people that go on and do get a redemption edit, it's like, okay, you got redeemed, but are we just supposed to forget that you made fun of a woman who suffered from ADD or ADHD? Like, I'm certainly not. So I don't know. And maybe she's going to put on an act down there. And she went down there knowing I'm not going to try and ruffle feathers. I'm going to, you know, just be my authentic self and see what happens. But yeah. And you know, there's like six couples at the end of the show. Two end up getting engaged, two end up leaving together, and two end up breaking up. Like, that's when we get to the end of Paradise. That's basically the shakedown of it, of the main six couples, two, two, and two. Mm-hmm. So you can have Stephanie fill you in on that if you'd like, if you want to know.
Yeah, we'll talk after.
If you had to guess, if I had to tell you, I mean, you know of one engaged couple, Johnny and Victoria Fuller. If I had to give you a guess of who the other engaged couple is, who would you guess? I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong either.
Well, wait, I'll give her a hint. Jackie, okay. The guy is like one of your favorite guys.
Oh.
Oh, but not Andrew.
Probably forgets who's going down, but there's this one guy that you really, really like, and you think that with the season he was on, he should have been chosen as the winner, and he wasn't. Oh, Brandon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who? Ooh, who does he get engaged to? No, now you just have to tell me.
Oh, okay. Serene.
Oh, okay. I love that. Aw.
Yeah.
Right? They're both such great, sweet people. I love that so much.
I remember when I was writing my recap for the hometown date episode of Clayton's season and Serene getting eliminated, and I said, at the time, I said, one, she's one of the most beautiful women they've ever had on this show, and two, yeah, she is going to be the hottest commodity down in Paradise this summer, and wouldn't you know it, she pretty much was. Now, I say hottest commodity, but she basically is with Brandon from day one. Like, she's not somebody that dated around down there and went on multiple dates like Logan does and Shanae does. Her and Brandon were like the it couple from day one. So, they end up getting engaged, and there's certainly a lot of drama. There's 42 people that show up in Paradise at some point this season, which breaks the record of last season, which was 41.
Wow. What's the Andrew and Teddy stuff? Because he has talked about her so much prior to going on the show that, like, they at least have to go on a date, right?
Gosh, the spoilers were like outside of the couples stuff. The spoilers were like a month ago, and I've already forgotten, like, because there's so many different dates and stuff like that. I know that Teddy is gone very early because it's not for her. And I think people were forcing the whole Andrew Teddy because he had spoken about her in podcasts before going on the show, and it was all this pressure, and it just never worked out, and she's gone within the first two or three episodes. Like, she either leaves or doesn't get a rose. I can't even remember. One of the two.
Okay.
But yeah, she's gone, but then Andrew strikes it up with somebody else, and he lasts a decent amount of time, I think. But again, I'm totally, with 42 people showing up this season, there's a lot that I've already forgotten. Like, who got roses in the first episode and stuff like that. Let me see if I have it in my, is it in my notes over here? Oh, I have it right here. In the first episode, men give the roses to women.
Wait, Jackie, do you want to know all this?
I'm not going to go over it. I'm just looking at it.
I was going to ask you once we got off this anyway, so just lay it on me. All right.
Okay, I don't have them all here, but in the first episode, just know that, or not first episode, the first rose ceremony, men are giving the roses to the women. Do you know the big twist of the season?
No, what is it? They make the girls leave? What is that?
Do you ever watch Love Island?
No, and I
know.
Okay. They basically ripped off Love Island just like they ripped off Joe Millionaire with their with their two leads this season. In Love Island, about halfway through filming every season on Love Island, everybody that's left, you know, is usually in some sort of couple. They say, okay, for the next 5 days, women, you're going to live somewhere else. Men, you stay here. We're bringing in new women to shack up with the men. We're bringing in new men to get with the women. And they basically start testing relationships because you're away. You're away from
that
your woman.
So good.
You're away from your couple, that your person you're coupled up with. You're away from them for Paradise. I think they separated them for 3 or 4 days where the women had to, that's what they show in the preview. They make it seem like they're leaving. They're actually leaving to go to a different place in Mexico where they stay for 3 or 4 days and don't get to interact. And in their place, they deliver them a new batch of guys, and the guys stay on the beach and they deliver them a new batch of women. And then after 3 or 4 days, they come together and you basically are testing your relationship. Do you stay with the one that you were with before the separation, or do you decide to move on to somebody else? That's how it works.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's the twist.
That's great.
On Love Island, it's called Casa Amor. That's what they call it, where you go into Casa Amor, which is, let's split everybody up. But yeah, they literally ripped off Love Island because Love Island's been doing that for 3 seasons or more seasons than that if you count the UK seasons. But yeah, that's the big twist, and it does lead to some heavy drama and lead to some breakups for sure. And we'll see that play out. So I'm curious. You guys have been doing, Jackie, you guys have been doing interviews, and you guys started the podcast, I believe, October of last year.
Yeah.
So you're not even a year into the podcast. You guys have gotten some really good guests. Is there anybody that when they came on, you had a preconceived notion about and then changed your mind after they were on? Good, either for good or for bad.
Tell the Ben story. Well, yeah, for sure. I think we've had several interviews that have changed my perception of someone, but a big one, I guess, changed our opinion on him was never bad. But so a story that we love to tell is how we got Ben Higgins on the podcast, which kind of, like, I think really solidified us as being able to get these bigger guests. And then moving forward, we got some really great people. But so he had heard about us and reached out to us to come on the podcast, because the past few episodes prior, we were talking about him a lot. And he's like, why are these girls talking about me? Do they like me? Like, what's going on? And he had wanted to get on a call with us to hash things out. And then we ended up doing an interview. And so then I think we had both had going into it, like, I don't know, we were like nervous, didn't know exactly what he wanted to talk about and what he kind of wanted to address, because he wanted to talk first. He didn't necessarily want to do an interview, even though it led to being an interview. But by the end of it, we decided we're besties now, and we cleared everything up, and now we call him, well, we used to call him friend of the show, Ben Higgins, and he mispronounced our podcast name on his podcast several months later. So now he is formerly known as, or artist formerly known as, I don't know. You came up with that one, Stephanie. I don't remember what we were saying.
Friend of the show, Ben Higgins, is FOTSFA. So we call all of our listeners FOTS, friends of the show. So Ben is the original FOTS. And then someone was like, oh, Ben covered your TikTok. So he was like covering my TikTok on Almost Famous. And he's like, this next story comes in from the TikTok account, She All Bach. Okay. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, Ben? You literally called me and asked to come on the show, and you're gonna pretend like you don't know me? So I DM'd him when that happened, and I go, hey, heard you covered my TikTok, why did you pretend like you didn't know me? And he's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I'm high on flu medicine. And I'm like, okay. So now he's the artist formerly known as FOTSFA.
I was just gonna ask you, how did he mispronounce She's All Batch? Like, what did he say? How did he call it? And you just answered that. So
I'm just a psychic with predicting your
question. Yeah, I know. My gosh. Are you hacked into my computer here? Because if you do,
yes,
you're going to know a lot of stuff.
Nice. Yes, I got all the spoilers.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming on, Stephanie and Jackie. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to finally do this. I'm glad that we were able to connect. Oh, I didn't even get to the story. Real quickly, when you and I connected a couple weeks ago, Stephanie, when I found out your last name, I was like, no, I knew your last name. I knew it was Stephanie. I knew your name was Stephanie Parker. But when we were speaking, me, you, and Dave, off camera before we started recording our stuff, you had mentioned a background at a particular, tabloid, weekly, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it just, that name and that particular tabloid rang in my head that, like, wait a second, I think I've emailed with this woman before a long time ago. And then I just typed in your name on my email search, and there it was from 2017. You and I had a back and forth on email when you were working at this particular company. That was funny.
I was trying to get some I was trying to get Steve to give us some spoilers for our site.
you wanted to work together, and I was like, sure, how much are you going to pay me for this? And you guys were like,
That's not my doing. That was the company that had the money. So
yeah, no, that was just, it was funny, but I'm just like, yeah. So we did. So it's like, I knew you before this, but you know, up until the recording with Dave, it never dawned on me that Stephanie Parker from She's All Batch or She All Bach is,
yeah.
I think I might start calling you that now. That's almost too funny.
Oh, yeah, great.
That Stephanie Parker from She's All Batch is the Stephanie Parker that I dealt with 5 years ago.
If you told me 5 years ago, I'd be on Reality Steve's podcast. I wouldn't believe it.
Well, you could have brought up to me at some point. You're like, did you not remember emailing me, or you did, and you just didn't want to bring it up?
No, I did not. I mean,
when you told me, it's not like I was surprised, but I didn't think like, oh man, I wonder if he's going to remember that. You know, oh, okay. I wasn't at the top of my mind at all.
Yeah. It just,
that you would know me.
Yeah. It just, it clicked. And it was only because of when you were talking about your background and where you used to work. And for some reason, I just remembered that name and that tabloid. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Go follow them on Instagram. She's All Batch. Or on their podcast, She's All Batch, even though She All Bach is kind of the new it thing. She All Bach, Jackie and Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. And we will definitely, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Stephanie and Jackie for that. Glad we could finally have them on. They've really made a name for themselves in the podcast world. And I have a lot of respect for people that can build their own content and don't have an affiliation to the show. And that's why I promote people like Dave Neal and Game of Roses and She's All Batch or She All Bach. That is hilarious that Ben thought that's how you pronounced it. I get it. B-A-C-H. There is a musician, a composer named Bach. I get it. But they're talking about The Bachelor. Why would she call it She's All Bach? Oh, Ben. Anyway, thanks again for them for coming on. They'll definitely be on in the future. I was on with Dave Neal on She's All Batch a couple weeks ago. Go check that out. But yeah, I posted this early today because I'm on my way to Las Vegas. So as you're hearing this, I'm probably on a plane right now. And tomorrow and Monday's daily roundup will still happen. I have figured out how to record on the road. First time ever doing it. It's going to sound a little bit different because I'm recording it into my phone. I'm not bringing a microphone with me. So I'll be recording it into my phone and just kind of go from there. And, but yeah, there will be a daily roundup up tomorrow and Monday, even though I will be in Las Vegas. I don't know how much Bachelor stuff will be in there. Because it'll just be, I don't know how much information I'm going to be getting. I still check my phone obviously when I'm in Vegas, but in terms of being more dialed into what's going on in the Bachelor world, no, I don't really do that when I'm out. So it'll just be anything basic that I can find online or maybe even look at Dave's YouTube videos and talk about what he's talking about because he's got his finger on the pulse of Bachelor Nation as well. So thank you to Stephanie and Jackie for coming on again. Definitely going to have them on in the future. Thank you all for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. It is much appreciated. And like I said, I'll be back tomorrow with the first daily roundup, not recorded at my desk. Maybe I'll give you an update on how my first day in Vegas went. But until then, for Stephanie Parker and Jackie Maroney, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. See you!